We might refer to the gospel passage today as the gospel of rehabilitation, because there are a number of individuals who are restored. John, in his famous passion, and then therefore the later the post-resurrection narratives, especially when it comes to Jesus after the resurrection, will focus on an individual called Thomas, Didymus, the twin. Forever, he will be noted as the individual who doubted the resurrection until he actually saw the wounds and touched them. But here I say a gospel of rehabilitation for Thomas is we understand what a brave individual Thomas was, because John singles him out as the one who says, let us go back with Christ to the rest of the disciples so that we might die with him. Of course, this later Thomas would be called not only to his own death, but to live for Christ. Herein, for each of us, is the aspect and the key to our spiritual life, to live in and for Christ. The second, obviously, is our friend Martha. And Martha, we remember, of course, in the scriptures, as Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things, huh? You know, all the little details, getting everything ready. Lord, tell my sister to come and help me in the kitchen. What is she doing out here at your feet when we've got to get things ready? And Jesus, of course, says to Martha, 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 you worry about so many things. Only one thing's important. Mary's chosen that. And maybe she's an example for you and for the rest of us to understand the importance of that relationship with Christ first. Here, we have Martha, who makes one of the great professional and confessional statements in all of the gospel. In the face of the death and tragedy and the loss of her brother Lazarus, she evokes her confidence in Christ, in Jesus. So, and of course, the last one to be rehabilitated, restored, is our friend Lazarus himself. And in each of those aspects, there are dramatic scenes. It's what makes this gospel so interesting. There are these dramatic scenes. You know, they're kind of building up to that wonderful moment. And what John is doing is revealing to us that person of Christ and the spiritual journey that we have to have as we approach Passion and his resurrection. First and foremost, I think you got to realize that Jesus is human, true God and true man. That's what we profess. That's what we believe. Jesus Christ is true God and true man. And when I say there's a dramatic scene, we have that scene here where Jesus is taken to Lazarus' tomb, and then a profound statement is made, and that is, and Jesus wept, the Son of God crying. We don't have that image when he's on the cross, when he's being scourged. We have nothing about the tears that are rolling down Jesus' face, but here we have an image immediately in relationship to the friendship that he had with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And you've got to think that for many of us, we can probably go back into our own imagination, our own times, and we can always talk about our own family home, our familial home. But there's always another special home, the home of our dear and close friends, where we remember those good times that we spent over at their home with their families, those good friends, almost a second home that invited us in to be a part of that family. And in the human side of Jesus, I really believe that Lazarus, Martha, and Mary provided that secondary home. That home he probably enjoyed to go over for the meal, for the fraternity, for the friendship, that sense. And there must have been a tremendously deep bond that was there. And Jesus wept. What it does immediately is it pulls us into the humanity of Jesus and understanding that those things that he suffered were not veneer, were not just basically a show on the front with really the sense of his divinity, but actually the experience that we all experience in terms of hurt and pain, of rejection, of friendship, of love. Our God was truly one with us in his humanity. Jesus became God, and all things was one with us except sin. As we approach now Holy Week, we understand the humanity of Jesus, the human connection to all of us. It helps to elevate immediately what he is now going to undergo. We have a sense of it. Secondly, we have a sense of his divinity. Statement immediately that Jesus makes is his illness will not result in death, but is to be given to the glory of God. Jesus is going to manifest himself in terms of the power that's invested in this person. This person in terms of the affirmation for all of us that he is truly the Son of God. God who has power over life and death. The materiality of life and death in this world. And so therefore, the dramatic scene of Jesus going forth and coming to the tomb, and then those words, Lazarus, come out. You can hear them echoed. You imagine what the crowd must have felt like? Did they look at Jesus, or did they turn to the tomb? Did they wonder, was there hesitancy? Did they think that this was a madman? That his grief had so overtaken him that the only thing he could shout was for Lazarus to come back to us? Imagine being part of that crowd and watching the figure after 4 days in the tomb emerge. Drop to your knees. It's a manifestation of God. This is his power. His power over life and death in this world, assuredly, because it is the God of all creation who breathes life into us, is a God of all creation who calls us out from this world. The power of God manifests in Christ, the Son of God, his divinity. So, when we are now taking ourselves through the Passion, we realize that through the human experience that Jesus is going to encounter in his suffering, his death, is going to be the experience that all of us must embrace in this world. But the power of that aspect of his crucifixion is the fact that we, our sins, are not only crucifying an innocent individual, we are crucifying the Son of God. We're crucifying the Son of God. As we enter into Passion and the Passion Week, we begin to get a sense of how much God loves us. That he becomes one with us, suffers for us, dies, and in that divinity restores and rehabilitates us. For me, the focal point of the whole passage comes right in the middle of the passage, in the confrontation of Jesus with Martha. It is a kind of confrontation. Notice now, Mary is at home. Martha is out to see him. She comes immediately before Jesus. And it's that wonderful dialogue that occurs. That wonderful dialogue between Jesus and Martha. Martha, of course, saying to Jesus, "If you'd been here, I know that my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask." It's sort of a pleading with Jesus that, you know, at least ask God to receive Lazarus. Do whatever you can before him, because I know God listens to you. You are the great prophet. We know you. And Jesus says to her, he says, "You know, your brother will rise." "Oh yeah, no, I know that." How many of us have said the same thing? "Oh yeah, he'll rise. We know. We know there's going to be the resurrection. We know Jesus will come again. We know the resurrection." He said, "No," Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will never die." Will never die. And then, like the gospel, and when we encounter the gospel and we understand it's not the depiction of just a story, but it's talking to every one of our hearts, we see the big finger kind of pointed out at every one of us when Jesus says, "Do you believe this?" Not you, Martha, but do you believe this? Do you believe this? And then the great profession. "I have come to believe that you are the Son of God, the one who is to come into the world." The great commentator used to like to listen to his stories on the radio by the name of Paul Harvey. And Harvey would kind of immediately talk in terms of telling the story. And then when you'd kind of think it was the end and there was a whole resolution to it, Harvey would say, "And now the rest of the story." We almost get a kind of a feeling with that here, midsection with John. "And now the rest of the story." And of course, Jesus goes down to the tomb. Stone is rolled back. Calls forth Lazarus, and Lazarus comes out. "And now the rest of the story." But that is not the rest of the story. When this part of the gospel is used, oftentimes at funerals, it ends with Martha's statement. And why does it end with Martha's statement? Because the great confidence is the fact that this is the Lord of all. This is Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Our commitment to him, our friendship with him, his love for us, our love for him, is what gives meaning to everything we do and calls us out of this world to a life that we were created for. So on this Sunday, we ask you the words of Jesus. Do you believe this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.